section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
What's up with Spud? Another WWE release, and Ambrose gets his revenge. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right to the news. So Eugene has been released.
Yes, I know that this is probably really devastating for you, Andy. I know that he's been doing so much work. He's been on Raw and SmackDown, coming out as a special needs character. So I'm sure that this kind of upsets you, doesn't it?
Not really. He was really good in the ring. It's just it's interesting because he was a trainer down in NXT, but now, well, I guess they didn't really need him. I am surprised about this, but you know, you're not there day to day, so you're not sure exactly what's going on. Why did he not do so well down there? But It's kind of sad. But you didn't hear any people saying, "Oh, that's so sad," or "We're gonna miss you." So you know,
yeah,
who knows?
Honestly, it kind of sounds like it wasn't work related. Like it sounds more as it might be in a conflict of a clash of personalities is what it kind of sounds like. But he'll land on his feet. You know, he'll go to some indie promotion and he'll do well there. Andy, for WWE programming for this week, Raw was in Chicago. So let's talk about that real quick. Stephanie McMahon referenced CM Punk not only on WGN, but she actually did it on Raw. I gotta ask you, first of all, when do you think the CM Punk chants will stop?
Well, if you remember the first time he was gone, they just kept going and kept going and kept going. And this, the only thing I remember was the fact that it started at the beginning of the show, and then when AJ Lee came out, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
So before they kept happening, and now I think people are just doing it just to do it. I did hear that they took some signs, anything CM Punk related, they did take away. And also same thing with the Colt Cabana stuff, that I was told that they took all that stuff away.
Yeah, that is, I think, I understand the CM Punk, and I actually do understand the Colt Cabana to an extent. But, you know, it's not like Colt Cabana's, people will see that and be like, who's that, you know? The CM Punk one, you don't want that shown on TV because you don't want people to remember him and the fact that he's no longer with your company and make you go, why is he no longer there?
Do you think he's going to be in the WWE 2K15 video game?
I'm pretty sure he is, which is what the lawsuit was about. I believe it was the video game. So, but Andy, let's actually move away from CM Punk. I got to ask you, so they've actually been showing the IC title a lot of love. We talked about it last week with Miz and with Dolph Ziggler. They actually had a match on SmackDown this past week with Cesaro taking on Ziggler. And Cesaro actually, he held onto the ropes and the ref didn't see it. So he got a rematch in a way, in a three-way match, Miz, Cesaro, and Ziggler. First of all, I got to ask you, what did you think of the match?
Well, it was impressive. I find it kind of like nice that they're actually giving the IC title some love. But it's something that I think is a long time coming. But you should be doing this with your mid-carders. I mean, also, if your World Heavyweight Champion is not there, you got to give some other titles some love. And, you know, I'm glad they're doing it with the IC title. I just wish that they would do it with the US title as well. But you know, speaking with the IC title, I do like the fact that Dolph is a champion. I think he's going to be a decent champion. So it'll be pretty cool. See what happens from here.
Yeah, and I think with the IC title too, the fact that we have really right now, we have three people going for the IC title. I think that actually makes it feel bigger because that was the biggest problem with the US title, you know, a year ago. Ambrose had, and I like Ambrose. I think Ambrose is a very talented wrestler, and I think that, you know, they're doing a really good job with him now. But when he was holding on to the US title, nobody wanted it. And if you have a title that nobody wants, then the title doesn't mean as much. You know, the title isn't a big deal. And so right now the IC title is actually getting the most amount of love. And the US title, you know, we have Sheamus, who is the current champion, but he's defending it here and there. He's not you know, they're not doing the same thing as they are with the IC title. I mean, he took on Damian Sandow, and Damian Sandow is not a legitimate contender right now. They've kind of de-pushed him to the point where he's not legitimate. With the U.S. title, what would you do with that?
Yeah, that's a tough decision. I'd almost say you put on Rusev just for the time being, just to kind of stick it to someone, or stick it to Americans, just for the simple fact that, okay, then you get a bunch of cheap heat because he's the U.S. champion, and he can change the title like they did back in the day, change it to the Canadian championship like they did with Lance Storm.
But they would do it to the Russian, though.
Yeah, which I would think that'd be kind of interesting.
I think that could be fun. I don't know, though. Is Rusev the character, though, that would be good to change? I think when Lance Storm did it, he's such a non-comedy character that it made it comedic. But Rusev is to be taken as a serious competitor. Do you think that it would be good to change it to the Russian title, or maybe the, you know, Asian or European or something like that? Do you think that that's a route that you'd be interested in seeing?
I don't know. That's different. I just thought the thing, if you put on Rusev, it'd be at least interesting to me, because you could get a ton of cheap heat that way. But I mean, that's, you know, that's one of those, no matter how I look at it, that's the person that I would put it on. I wouldn't keep it on Sheamus, because Sheamus is just, he's kind of a placeholder for that title right now. He's not really defending it. And when he does, it's kind of a joke. I mean, don't get me wrong, Sheamus is a great wrestler, but it's not like how the IC title. I mean, I like watching those matches, and I don't think The Miz is that great of a wrestler. I think he's more of a mouthpiece. But his matches that he's had lately, they've been impressive. They're good enough not to fast forward through.
Yeah, and actually, to piggyback off that real quick, I'm not one that – I think comedy done right, I enjoy for wrestling. But Miz and Sandow have actually been a really good pairing. I think that they've done a really good job together. And I actually hope that they actually do something with them. In fact, I would almost say something you could do with them is you could move them into the tag team division, and you could have those two go for the tag titles, because they actually kind of go together. And I think that might be a good route to go.
Yeah, I could see them doing that. I just like, I don't know. I almost like the single fact, because it made me laugh when The Miz hurt his knee, and then Sandow's on the ground doing the same thing. I was rolling with that. I thought that was one of the funniest things.
Well, you fell on the ground and you held your knee too.
I did, laughing. Not really. I was trying not to throw up. but it was. But I was. That was one of the first things that made me laugh in the last few days. So that entire segment, great thing on Raw. But, you know, I guess when I look at the U.S. title, and, you know, getting back to U.S. title, I guess to me, I look at the history and certain things you could do with the U.S. title, and they're just not doing it now. So,
well, it's not sad. The U.S. title that we knew and loved. Instead, it's a bastardized version of it. So instead, it's a, kind of a dumbed down version of it.
It's not the NWA or WCW U.S. title. It's just a title.
Honestly, at this point in time, I actually think they should get rid of the U.S. title. I think that now would be a good time to do it. You know, have Rusev hold it, and then, I don't know, like just retire it or combine it with the IC title. Because realistically, if you had, let's just throw this out there. Let's say Swagger, Rusev, and Sheamus all wanted shots at the U.S. title. That's actually a really big deal, because that way you have maybe mini tournaments, or you say, oh, we're going to have a number one contenders match, a four-way number one contenders match, whoever the first pin wins, you know, that sort of thing. And I think that that would be really cool and be interesting. So I wish that they would go down that route.
Unfortunately, they won't, but, you know, they do listen to this show, so maybe they will. The one thing I thought was really interesting was I believe that Dean Ambrose is probably one of the most underrated people out there right now, and I think he's stealing Daniel Bryan's thunder to a certain extent, because people want something different, and he's different. His character's different. He can wrestle. He's just different, and I think that was the thing that made Daniel Bryan so strong. But Ambrose coming out on Raw was just awesome. Like, in all seriousness, I thought that was probably one of the best segments they've had in a while.
The start of the segment was like a little eh. And then when he left the briefcase in the ring, I was expecting him to open it and then be like disgusted by it, is what I was thinking. What did you think of the green slime?
That was pretty comedic to me. I thought he was going to have something in there like underwear or something like that, or something along those lines. That's what I thought he would have in there. But the fact they did the slime, I thought that was very comedic. It made me laugh a lot. Probably one of the funniest things. I never expected it. And I think that's really what got me.
Yeah. I think having it be so unexpected made the moment that much more memorable. I think that that's something that they'll probably be shown for the next 5 years. I think that that's kind of, you know, it's silly, but it's kind of career defining almost. Like, that's going to be a big deal for both Rollins and for Ambrose. And let me ask you this much, Andy, before we talk about the WWE Championship, right now the rumor is that we're going to see Rollins taking on Cena in the main event of Hell in a Cell. I got to ask you, Rollins, do you think that he is going to be able to swing? He's going to be able to play with the big boys like that?
He could, but when's Brock Lesnar going to defend the title?
Well, we'll talk about that in a second.
All right. Well,
do you think Rollins is able to hang? Or do you think he'll be able to?
He can. I mean, if Cena can hang, Rollins can definitely hang.
But there's a big difference, though. People look at Cena and they see WWE Championship material, no matter what. But with Rollins, do you think that people are going to see that after the 26th?
He's a different champion. I mean, Daniel Bryan is a different champion. And I think that's the thing. I mean, if you have a cookie cutter guy, like, nothing is John Cena, but he's pretty much a cookie cutter guy. I mean, you have a guy who can lift, does five moves, and can talk on the mic. I mean, that's pretty much what he is. And there's multiple guys on the roster like that. Nothing is Roman Reigns, but he is. So that's how I look at it from that aspect.
Okay. Now, WWE Championship. So right now, the champion is not on Raw. They're barely showing Paul Heyman. And so I got to ask you, first of all, what do you feel about the championship itself right now?
You know, I guess you can say it's a little bit stronger, but that's from, I guess, some people's point of view. To me, it's kind of weak because it's not getting defended. They're not even talking about the title. I mean, the only reason Paul Heyman was in Chicago is because they needed someone to talk, and what better person to talk than Paul E? That's it. So he should have actually had Brock come out. If Brock came out, especially at the opening of Raw, you would have never heard CM Punk. Except when AJ Lee came out.
Yeah. And I agree with that. I agree with what you said, too, which might sound a little contradictory from a couple weeks ago. But here's my thing. I think that having the championship defended at every pay-per-view is OK, or even potentially every other pay-per-view, because at Hell in a Cell, if they don't defend the title, I'm actually OK with that on one condition. And that's this. Everybody needs to be talking about the championship. In order to make it feel important, it needs to be important. Because guess what? The U.S. title doesn't feel important because no one's talking about it. They're not making it seem like it's that big of a deal. But the WWE Championship felt like a big deal when Paul Heyman was out every single week talking about how big it is. When John Cena was coming out saying, I want that title because that means I am the best of the best. That makes it feel really big. Right now, what the focus of Raw should be is about who gets to take on Brock Lesnar next. And Cena should be coming out saying he should. Orton should be saying that. Rollins should be. Ambrose. Everybody should be coming out and saying that. And then at Hell in a Cell, they should have a number one contenders match. And then you're going to see people beating the crap out of each other. And you're going to be going, wow, this is what they're doing to get a shot at the title. And then the title feels really big. Honestly, the past two Raws have made me not think about the title, and that's actually not a good thing. I think the title should always be the focal point of the show. So I think that this next Raw, what would make it really big, Heyman needs to come out. He needs to talk about the title, why it's important, and he needs to say who's next, basically.
And then,
Goldberg comes out.
Yeah. All right, so let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs, a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code OffTheMark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off The Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEShop.com. So let's talk about some Impact Wrestling this week. So is Rockstar Spud going to turn?
So they've been doing kind of a pretty good thing with them recently, and having Ethan Carter III really just kind of spit in his face and making him, you know, kind of feel like less than a person. And the crowd, I think, is really – I think Rockstar Ethan Carter is the type of heel you love to hate. And I think that's the thing that's really cool about him. When Aries was a heel – the crowd cheered him because they just loved him. Like they just liked Austin Aries. And so it was really hard for them to turn him into a heel. They had to turn him into a face. Whereas EC3 is the guy that you go, I like him as a wrestler. I like how he is on the mic, but I also like to hate him. And Spud is the guy that you just like, even though like he's being a jerk or being a little weird or whatever. You like Rockstar Spud. Like, and that's the thing. So they're doing right now they're trying to make Spud a sympathetic character. And so I believe that Spud is going to be turning face here very soon.
Well, he is doing a show with Josh Matthews, former of the WWE, on their YouTube channel, which I will not watch. So my thought on Spud, I just like to see him get the crap kicked out of him.
But what about if he's a face? Like what would you do with him?
I
don't want to
see
him
a face. I just don't really care.
Like, you don't want to see him a face, but you like Spud, though.
I do, but I would like to see him get the crap kicked out of him. That's the fun part about him. When he gets beat up, it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
That's my thought on that.
Well, I guess storyline-wise, you know, the downside here is that with EC3, he could send Spud out to get the crap kicked out of him while EC3 was okay and never got hurt. And with Spud turning face, it's not like Spud is going to, you know, if he does... Spud isn't going to be able to beat EC3. It's not like having a tag team split up where the good guy gets revenge on the bad guy. You're not going to see that. Spud will never pin EC3. Ever. Spud is a manager. And, I mean, that's a strength, so.
Well, he could if they dragged one arm over him after, you know, like the Dudleys beat him up for a while.
Yeah, or maybe.
Team 3D, whatever you
want
to call
it. Do you really want EC3's first loss to be against Spud?
It'd be funny to me. But I guess if you're shutting down, it doesn't matter. So anyways, you want to talk about Global Force?
After this, if you want to.
I don't want to.
So. Andy, do you like what the route that they're going down with James Storm? They had him come out this week with Manic and with the Great Sonata. And it's almost like Storm now is putting these young guys under his belt and really teaching them to be ruthless. Do you like that route that they're going?
Kind of. But my thought process on this is, what's the payoff? Because at least with other things that they've done, there you could see the long-term payoff. And here's my problem. You don't know what's going on with them. Is TNA going to be around in, you know, 6 months? We don't know. And until they get that TV deal, we won't know. And to me, that's actually hurting the storyline. And it's actually probably the best one they have going right now.
Yeah, it definitely is one of the better ones. I agree with you there. And, you know, to kind of piggyback off that, I can definitely understand where your thought process is, because if you don't know if let's say you're watching a TV show, let's say like The Walking Dead or something, and you find out that they might be canceled and that they may not have a home elsewhere. And so they're kind of going on this storyline and you're kind of thinking, well, where are they going to go with it? Because it may have to have an ending quicker rather than, you know, later. And it's almost like that right now with TNA, because there is so much uncertainty. And I think that there's a lot of talent there that is kind of looking for an exit strategy. And so I can definitely see where your thought process is with that.
Yeah. And you know, the one thing that I'm intrigued about is that Bound for Glory, they've taped shows at that are going to air after Bound for Glory. So we pretty much know who's going to have the title. We pretty much know what's going on. I guess it's kind of disappointing. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on Bound for Glory now?
I liked it last year. I thought Bound for Glory was actually a really good show. The year before that was pretty good. And before that, even. I think that Bound for Glory TNA has done a pretty good job of making it feel like a really big show. And I think that's important, because if you want people to say, this is our WrestleMania, this is our biggest show of the year, you have to make people believe that. And doing the tournaments was really cool. The point system I actually liked. This, though, there's no talks about who the number one contender is. The only thing that they've really talked about is having Great Sonata and James Storm take on the Great Muta and another Japanese wrestler. And then that they're doing some, you know, cross promotion matches, but they're not really talking about the TNA World Heavyweight Championship that much. I mean, they've been doing vignettes with Bobby Roode and Lashley, but if you have that be your main event, we've already seen that on free TV. You know, you're not going to see Daniel Bryan versus Triple H on free TV. That's not a free TV match. You don't see Brock Lesnar wrestling on free TV. That's not something that you do. And so I'm a little confused about what Bound for Glory actually means for TNA, because I almost feel like it's kind of just a random pay-per-view for them now.
I don't even think it's a pay-per-view. I think it's just a show they're doing that they want money from you. And the other problem that I have with the show is the fact that you can't watch it live. It's taped. Well, if nothing happens on the pay-per-view, I'm not going to buy it. So what's the point of this? If you know that this guy's going to retain, this guy has to retain because on the following show, this is what happens. Okay, well, what's the point of the show then?
So do you think that TNA has made a very, very big mistake by taping so far in advance?
Because a lot of people in Japan are not happy about it, because if they know that on this, you know, on I think it's this two impacts after Bound for Glory, something big happens – and they already know it. Well, then what's the point of watching the match?
What if TNA does something, though? Let's just throw... I'm going to throw this out there. So let's just say that TNA has a wrestler win the title back and they defend it then at Bound for Glory, but then lose it the following match. I mean, that's possible, isn't it? I mean, they could hotshot a title, couldn't they?
Yeah, but I think this is too late. I really think that there is no game plan, and they basically brought people in. They're like, we don't have a game plan, but you know, this is what we're going to throw this show together. We're throw this show together, tape it out of order. I guess to me, there's no organization.
So do you think that TNA is doomed to fail?
I think that unless you get someone else in there, they're doomed to fail. And that's the sad part. No matter how you look at it. You know, if you look at, you know, in a football team, if your GM is not doing well, you let them go. But I don't think they're realizing that right now. And that's the sad part. One of my predictions was that they're going to be around, and I don't think they are. I said they'd be through the entire year. So just as long as they've taped up to that final show on that Wednesday, I'm good.
Well,
it lasted the full year.
As long as it airs.
So, which would be the 31st of December. So just because of that, I would be happy, because then I could say, oh, they did last. But if they don't have a TV deal in the next, I would say by off the mark episode number 239, which is in 2 weeks, if they still do not have a TV deal, they are done. Because you need to promote that, and especially at your biggest pay-per-view that you have, you need to put out saying, hey, we're going to be on Velocity. We're going to be on WGN America. We're going to be on Chiller. You know, this is the channel we're going to be on. They're going to replay it 15 times just because. So they need to actually promote that and keep promoting that. In fact, I would even go as far as in the ring itself for Bound for Glory. If I'm going to Velocity, I'm going to have the Velocity logo in the ring. Mm-hmm. Because every time you show a cutback, you're getting free advertisements for it. Oh, thank you, by the way, whoever's at TNA was like, oh my gosh, that's a great idea. We're going to have to do that now. So.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And, you know, I really hope that they are here in a year and in 2 years. But I'm getting a little more bearish on them, and I'm getting a little worried for sure.
Yep. And of course, it turns out that Jeff Jarrett's Global Force wrestling promotion is none other than he basically promotes a show and puts it on pay-per-view, and that's it. And it makes more sense why he was traveling around. And I think I said at one of the shows that what he's probably going to do is for a TV show is that he's going to showcase this talent in this area and then go to another area and focus on that talent as well. And then I think the game plan that you have is that whoever was popular and they want to see more of, you bring those guys in and have them, then that become your promotion, which I'm assuming was the end game for that. But also, who knows? Jeff Jarrett had this great idea, then nothing happened.
Yeah,
pay-per-view.
You know, I'll say I do hope that, you know, Global Force Wrestling actually does take off. I think that would be nice to have another big promotion. Ring of Honor, I don't think is really cutting it right now, and neither obviously TNA isn't. So, you know, I hope that we have something else take off, but you know, look, it's just going to come down to this. You got to have, you know, good wrestlers, you got to have good storylines, and it's got to be consistent. You can't have crap every single week. It doesn't have to be 100% great every week. I mean, you know, hell, Raw for, you know, up through Night of Champions was horrible. So, you know, I just hope that GFW is able to take off though.
Yeah, me too. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.